So, good morning. Here I'm in conversation with the wonderful Pauline Crawford about magical conversations. Tell me, what is a magical conversation?
Well, a magical conversation is one where you step into a space with anybody, one person, two person, or maybe more, and you bring yourself into that conversation, you leave your ego outside the door, but you come fully committed to have something magic happen about a particular topic that you all agreed with.
So, well, what would you like to talk to me about magically today?
Well, maybe we should talk about how men and women get on, as you are a man and I'm a woman, and we're different types of men and women in the world. Yeah. And one of my passions is to help men and women really explore how they work together, how they live together, in maybe a better way than we sometimes observe, especially in the corporate world.
Yeah, because it's amazing, isn't it? Because I remember we were all brought up in the 60s and the 70s where it was burn the bra and all this sort of stuff, and all those conversations were going on then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we're like, what, this could be 40, 50 years on.
Well, yes.
Is it still going on, this? Are people, are men and women not getting on? Are men from Mars and women from Venus?
It is a bit like that, but it's gone to a different layer. And the reason I say that is because the world has changed around us. So if you think about the last 60 years, the world of business, for instance, has not changed a lot for men, but for women it's changed hugely.
Mm-hmm.
So a young woman of 20, 25, 35, she comes into the workplace with a whole different set of values and expectations than maybe I had, being a somewhat older generation. And the last 60 years, we haven't changed the playing field. We've only asked the players to play on the same pitch, and that's one of the things I think needs to change.
Wow. That's phenomenal. So how can someone change? Where should the change start? Well, does it start with men? Does it start with women? Does it start somewhere in between?
Let's put a little caveat on that. Is that I think it's also about transformation rather than change. I think change is sometimes looking at the past too much, because this is a very multi-generational conversation as well. So if I'm talking to men and women in the boardroom, they may be of a senior years and have a different view of men and women than the young kids would have. But in general, the world has changed a lot for women, and as I say, it's not dissimilar for men that it has been over many years. It is still about men are from Mars and women are from Venus, but there's another layer where we've got so many different types of women now in the workplace demanding different things, and also still having demands of themselves to be mothers and have families, that we haven't quite had that real magical conversation which says, could we have a different playing field in the workplace that affects our life?
So let me start this from a male perspective.
Yeah,
then.
Please
right,
do.
So I'm this bloke, and there are all these women out there. How do I know which one is which? How I might interact with them? How I might better interact with them? And let me put a sort of male spin on this, so I get better results.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is all about results. Although it is about our human beingness, it is also about results. I'm very practical about that. And actually, I'm one of those women who is very, if you like, masculine-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see out there is that we have masculine-minded women and we have feminine-minded women. And interestingly enough, we have masculine-minded men and feminine-minded men.
Oh, blimey.
And
they're not just men from Mars and women from Venus. There are flavours of men and flavours of women.
Absolutely. There are flavours of men and flavours of women. And because women previously weren't in such obvious numbers in the workplace, it wasn't such an issue. Because very often, I have to say sadly, women don't get on with other women, which causes a complexity and a confusion to men that you probably come across.
So this is more complex than I possibly ever imagined then. So I might have to relate to a male female.
A masculine female.
Masculine female, differently from a female female.
Feminine female.
I'll get the
terminology. You've got to get that right, yeah. Right?
But also, those two different types of female might have to be mindful about how they relate. Mm. And let's say I was working in an office where there were three of us, right? Then that dynamic is going to change depending on who is what.
Absolutely.
How do you know what you are?
Well, you instinctively know who you are when you're explained. So, for instance, when I say a masculine-minded woman, it's not a woman pretending to be a man. It's actually a woman who has quite, if you like, a much more left-brain preference. So they're possibly very logical and processy, spatially acute. whereas a feminine-minded woman is potentially much more intuitively operating her way in work. She might have learned to be process-driven because that's the way work is, but she's more intuitive. Now, often the crunch comes when emotions get in the way mm-hmm. or we're under stress. That's when things can turn up. And one woman can turn out to be much more of a bitch and the other might be a bit of a victim. Mm-hmm. And for a man who potentially, although there are different types of men are much more, I say with blessing, are much more straightforward. There is a lot of confusion about what these women are about. So the conversation is much more circular between all these different characters. And the other part of the conversation is, what is the world we want to have around us?
Well, I like the idea, because what you've done there, you've isolated something which I've not thought about before completely. And, you know, boil something down. You've made something which is really, really complex, actually quite simple, saying there are just these different flavours of people.
Yes.
And that if we're mindful about how we interact with them,
yes,
then we're going to get different results, which is going to benefit everybody. So how do we compose, then, a new way of being?
Well, I think the first thing is actually becoming aware of those differences. That was fascinating. If you ask any audience, you know, are men and women the same? They'd always say no. If you say, are all men the same? They'll say no. If you say, well, are women the same? No. So people know that there's differences out there. So what I'm just doing is composing a little bit of a framework to know where our boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really want to encourage women to understand is that we're actually more similar as a culture to each other. And men are more similar to each other as a culture, and that we're actually created to work in harmony and integration together to make a better world. And we're now all more players on the playing field, and we can actually make that work. So, for instance, men are more driven to find solutions, be task-focused, you do one thing at a time. Women, in general, are all much more likely to be emotionally driven, relationship focused and multitasking. Now those are broad brushstrokes, and then we have the variants within each culture, but it is like two cultures. Mm. We do speak a different language between our two biologies.
So how would I moderate my behaviour then in a sort of multi-sex environment where, you know, I might all have males to deal with.
As yeah, well as, absolutely.
How does someone change the way they go about?
I think it's
their
about
day?
Tuning into what people are saying, and for instance, the masculine energy within men or women is often much more directive. It's more telling you what it's about, structured, wanting bullet points, you know, even down to practicalities like, well, let's get into action. Whereas your intuitive man or your intuitive woman might actually be much more resistant to that and actually saying, well, how's everybody feeling? So we can actually observe it in words.
And body language?
And body language, yeah. Yes. The very fascinating that women who are more masculine minded. So, Tom, you were asking me about how you might actually observe this. And there's a little trick that I could share with you, is that because our physicality is part of our identity as women and men, women who are more masculine-minded, in my experience, and this is really what I'm now researching and writing about, tend to have a more angular bone structure. Now, you don't want to go into the details of that, but they stand more straight. They stand like a man would stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the other end of the spectrum, our very feminine women tend to stand slightly at a curve. They might have one leg behind them or sit on a chair or put their legs folded over. So you can actually observe in a room of women the ones who are standing absolutely direct and the ones that are softer. So, for instance, President Angela Merkel, who you know from Germany, she stands very, very straight.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton is a slightly more gentle line.
Slightly more demure, yes.
Demure.
Yes.
So just taking that sense of straight, angular to soft curved. The same is true of men, but it's not quite as curved as women. But you will still notice that the masculine-minded man will stand very, very straight and direct. You're a much more gentle, intuitive man, Tom, and I would say you're, I would call an FM, a feminine-minded male.
Mm-hmm.
And you... you sit and you in a gentle way, you wear gentle clothing, you like that softness around you. So that's where we can observe those traits.
Now, I'm getting very excited about this now, because this means that there's kind of a new way of being and doing that we can all learn, which is really simple. So let's take Merkel and Clinton, who I don't know, right? So does that mean I've got to change the way, let's say I was to meet either of them and we were to have some sort of interaction, and I wanted to get my point across to them, and I wanted them to take some action. Would I have to moderate the way that I am and change the way I am?
Well, it would be sensible to moderate the way you are, because you then would get the best response from them. So for somebody like Angela Merkel, who maybe wants a very direct response or questioning tactic, then you go, well, shall we summarise this in a few bullet points? Would that be a good idea, President Merkel? Maybe with Hillary, you'd take a slightly gentler approach and say, well, it seems to be there's a good sense about what you're saying. I feel that your energy is focused on the detail here. Is that correct, Hillary? Mm-hmm. So what you're doing and using your language is you're tuning in to the potential to be those different type of women.
Gotcha.
Because they're both, and all women are, potentially powerful enough to be strong. Being at any end of the spectrum is not about strength and weakness. Mm-hmm. It's actually a different style. I know many very top corporate women who are feminine females, and they're very strong. They're very good on the board. They know what they're about, and men respect them for who they are.
So tell me about magical conversations. That's really some great information. Magical conversations, then, is something you're starting.
I'm starting.
You're having. Who are the sort of people you want to have these magical conversations with?
I'm very passionate about the magical conversations affecting our workplace, because in my experience, a workplace is a quite challenging place for women, especially at the top, but for men as well. So I would like to see magical conversations at the top where the conversation is about how do we bring a real true sense of service and relationship management into the structured task side of business. How do those two things merge? Because that's basically what we are not always doing. So we favour getting the operation and the task done and the sales up. That's the only important thing in business. Truth is, it's about people.
So there was a business that was either struggling or just having some communication issues, right? It's quite possible that there's a gender aspect to them.
Quite possible. And interesting as well, we must remember that gender does not mean women.
Yeah, it could just
be men and women, and it could be an all male group.
Exactly.
And it could be an all female group.
Yeah.
Because an all male group might, if you were sitting in a room with a tough lot of masculine males, you might feel that as a feminine minded man potentially quite threatening.
Mm.
And you might unconsciously adjust your behaviour and then come out and say, oh my God, I wish I had said this or that, but I didn't get a chance. So, yeah, the gender magical conversation is very much about either. But I think the other layer for magical conversations is how do we collaborate? How do we integrate all these factors in?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an interesting challenge I put to some 16-year-olds at Lambeth Academy recently. As I said, how would you guys like to talk to the men and women in the boardroom and have a chat with them about what the world could be like? And they said, yeah, we're up for that. So I thought I might put that on the agenda.
That sounds fabulous.
Well, these kids are going out into the workplace and their whole view of the world is very different to that which is way up above them, 10, 20, 30, 40 years on.
Right.
But we need to listen to them.
Well, this is very, very exciting. There's no limit to this. This can go into schools, this can go into business, it can go into relationships at home.
Oh, absolutely, in the family scenario.
Yeah.
And just to kind of put a summary around this, the goal we have with a magical conversation is that when we're in there, we feel we're contributing, it can still be feisty, but there's a way of being in that space which doesn't threaten or drain anybody. Otherwise, it's not magical, it's a miserable. So the magical conversation means that when you leave it, you're inspired to be feeling magical about your life and to have other magical conversations with whoever you meet, be it somebody on the tube or, when you go into your next meeting. So it leaves you inspired to see the potential of life and the excitement of life.
And if I'm reading between the lines here, if you have magical conversations, then magic's going to ensue as a result.
Absolutely. This, Tom, is a magical conversation that we're having.
Isn't it just, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, well, listen, it's been great to talk to you about all of this.
And, thank you.
I'm looking forward to hearing about all the other magical conversations you're going to have. You want to also have magical conversations as part of the podcast series, is that right?
Absolutely, well? Yes.
So anyone that wants to come and have a chat, we can do that anywhere in the world, because we can do this over Skype.
Yeah, we can do this any way we like.
Fantastic. And what a great concept. And I just wish you so well with it.
Thank you.
Take care.
It's been wonderful talking to you. A magical conversation.
Indeed. Take care.